Take your Bibles and open up to Psalm, if you would, this one, the book of Psalms, and the 117th chapter. Put a bookmark there, if you would, where our text will be. But we're going to stretch back to Psalm 22 to start, so be prepared to turn a little bit. Trust you received a handout this morning, and of course, on your handout, you'll see several supporting passages. We're going to turn to each one of those places, so if you're cued in, following along, Psalms 117 is where we're going to ultimately be. But we're going to read first from Psalm 22 in just a moment. Psalm 22. So, once again, we continue the series, Too Blessed to be Stressed. How many of you, to be honest, as a pastor, in some ways this last week was a little stressful? Gosh, you got a few, wow, lots of hands, wow. How many of you would say, Pastor, but in one way or another, maybe a message over the last few weeks kind of reminded me that, you know what, no matter what's going on with stress in my life, I am still so blessed. How many just would say, yeah? Right. I think it's a good reminder. You know, sometimes just the simple truth is just the good truth, the heavy truth that we need. And stress is just coming at us, you know, from front, back, sideways, left, upside down, every which way. But through it all, we're still truly, really blessed. Today's message is entitled Praise Him. And I want us to look at that today and encourage you, encourage me, just with this phrase, praise Him. It's a simple message. It's a straightforward message. In fact, the text is two verses, right? So this pastor shouldn't preach too long, and we should look forward to a great time in the Word of God. Before we read Scripture, though, I want to read an old hymn to you. It's entitled, Praise Him, Praise Him. Maybe you've heard it. I won't sing it to you because I want you to stay around for the preach once again, but I want you to listen to the words. It goes like this. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all the day long. Verse 2 goes like this. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins, He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the Crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, strong. The closing verse goes like this. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus Savior reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming. Did we preach about that last week? Absolutely. Jesus is coming again. Over the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. And in the chorus, after one of those verses, is praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness, praise Him, ever in joyful song. We're going to come to a psalm this morning that does exactly that. Would you turn to Psalm 22 this morning? And I want us to look at just some supporting passages with the thought of praise Him. So here's what we're going to do. You're following along, right? Six or seven of you. Everybody's following along, right? Yeah. All right. So when we get to the verse that we're going to be reading from, when you see the two words, praise Him, you know what I want you to do as a congregation? Say it with me, all right? So we're just going to read right through the verse. But when you see praise Him, just speak up, speak loud, and just say it with me, praise Him, okay? So let's just practice on verse 23 in Psalm 22, all right? So everybody in Psalm 22, verse 23 says this, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye, the seed of Israel. You guys don't need practice. Good job. Awesome. We see, of course, it's starting to be laid out for us as we go through the Psalms, just the importance of praise Him. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Just reading along and just looking and setting the context, the importance of how often we see this thought, the help, the command, the instruction to praise Him. Psalm 28, verse number 7 says this, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I
praise him.
Turn, if you would, to the 42nd Psalm, 42. Psalm 42, verse number 5. Psalm 42, in verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet
praise
him for the help of his countenance. Jump down to verse number 11, almost a repeat, but let's see the emphasis one more time. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet
praise
him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Just one chapter over, Psalm 43 and the 5th verse, one more time, the same verse, but catch the wording. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet
praise
him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Remember we raised a hand a few moments ago, hard and weak, struggled weak. Why is the soul down? Why are we disquieted? Hope thou in God, right? Too blessed to be stressed. Let's go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And look at the 34th verse, Psalm 69. And the 34th verse, now we move from human beings, from us as people, to now getting into some passages here about creation, praising. Look at this, verse 34. Let the heaven and earth
praise
him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Let's go to Psalm 107, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And verse 32, we now come back to the people again. Psalm 107, verse 32, and we look at a group of people. Look at this, Psalm 107, verse 32. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and
praise
him in the assembly of the elders. Let's go all the way kind of towards the back. Psalm 135, Psalm 135 this morning. Psalm 135. Look how many times in this one verse we see the word praise and we see the call to praise the Lord. Psalm 135, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Praise
him, O ye servants of the Lord. We can continue reading that chapter. It's so rich with so much. But again, just setting the praise him aspect. Let's go back to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Look at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens.
Praise
him in the heights. Praise number, or verse number 2 says, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Verse 3. Praise ye him, sun and moon.
Praise
him, all ye stars of light. Verse 4.
Praise
him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. So in this passage, we see, obviously, we as humans, we see mankind to praise, and also again the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. Now come, if you would, to Psalm 150. Which is often known as the praise psalm. Look, if you would, at Psalm 150. I want to read all of this, and there are several times where you'll need to be ready to shout out, praise him, all right? So let me read across it. Join in together as a church, and let's read this whole psalm together. I'll read aloud, you join in on the praise him. Verse number 1 in Psalm 150, the Bible says this, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary.
Praise
him in the firmament of his power.
Praise
him for his mighty acts. Praise
him
according to his excellent greatness.
Praise
him with the sound of the trumpet.
Praise
him with the psaltery and harp.
Praise
him with the timbrel and dance.
Praise
him with stringed instruments and organs.
Praise
him upon the loud cymbals.
Praise
him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath
praise
the Lord. Say it together, last phrase.
Praise ye the Lord.
You think God wants us to praise him?
Amen.
Absolutely. And you know what? Look at the bottom of your outline. I'm going to give you the whole take-home thought right now. We're going to pray one more time, and we're going to jump into Psalm 117. But at the bottom of your outline, you see the take-home thought. Praising the Lord will profit you spiritually, physically, and mentally. There's no need to stress. You got an antidote, if I may put it this way, when stress comes. You're too blessed to be stressed. Praise him. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for the next little while that you would be pleased, Lord, with the conversation, with the preaching and the teaching that will take place from behind this pulpit. God, I pray that the distractions be removed, that you would let us focus, Lord, upon this very encouraging, uplifting message and how the Christian life ought to be lived and how the victory is had. Lord, we have sang about victory in Jesus this morning. So God, let us now just soak up the truths as we go through this series, too blessed to be stressed. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say,
amen.
And amen. All right, let's go back to Psalm 117. So we had a little bit of a homework assignment there this morning. And maybe you marked a few of those, or at least you have the supporting passages on your handout to go back and just to look. Praise him. Praise him. What does the word praise mean? It simply means this: to brag on. To brag on, or to, in other ways, to edify, to lift up, to make big. We use the word exalt even in our purpose as a church. We would say some of those terms tie all in together. But the idea is this: is to brag, to lift up, to make important our God. When hard times come, we as Christians often say, "Well, let's continue to praise the Lord." And when stress comes, we often will say, let's praise the Lord. And that is very true. You know, in counsel, in conversation, in hard times, we'll text or over the phone, we will say, you know, well, praise God, praise God. But the truth would be that sometimes when we hear that, we just kind of hear it, we go, eh. But I want us this morning to just soak up like a sponge that wonderful, real awesome truth of praise him. Praise him. Look at Psalm 117. Two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. And say it with me. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Shout out with me the last part.
Praise ye the Lord.
Two verses. What's awesome about this chapter, just a little bit of fun fact, if I can. There are 1,089 chapters in the Bible. 1,089. So if you divide it by 2, 545 would be the halfway point. Guess what chapter is halfway point?
Psalm 117.
Exactly right. Psalm 117 is the halfway point in the chapters that we've been given in our English Bible to look at, to study, to have. Psalm 117 is the halfway point. Okay? Not by words, not by verses, but just by chapters. 1,089, here's your halfway point. Psalm 117. What is another important fact is just two chapters over, Psalm 119 is the biggest, longest, hugest chapter, right? 176 verses crammed into one chapter, okay? It's called the Word of God Psalm, and every one of those verses ties in and has the fact about the Word of God. But here we are in Psalm 117, and now guess what we have? The shortest chapter in all of the Bible. Two verses, 33 words. Of those 33 words, three times we see the word praise, and three times we see capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. 33 words is all that we're looking at this morning, and to be honest with you, we're going to break it down so simple that we're going to talk about this one word, praise. Bragging, lifting up, making much of our God. When hard times come in our lives, we're too blessed to be stressed. We can still have stress in our life, but above that, we are blessed, and we must soak that up. We must be the Christians God wants us to be because he is on the throne. God never sleeps, he never slumbers. He's always awake, and he always looks upon us.
Amen.
We're too blessed to be stressed. In these two verses this morning, can I just give you three helps about praise? Just three things to jot down, to just soak up like a sponge, and go out through this week and just take it on, okay? We have a lot of workers that are going to be working kids' blast this week. Tomorrow night, Friday, be here at 5, stay till 9. It's going to be a long week. I want to take this short chapter, preach a short charge, a short message to you, and encourage you. As a worker, as a member, as a visitor of Mountain View Baptist Church, we want to praise him. You're going to have a struggle tomorrow. you're going to have a hard time later this week. I hope that you'll be able to come back to these 33 words. Come back to this beautiful short psalm, the middle of the Bible chapter, and be encouraged. Let's look at it for this morning, just for a little while. Number one, I want us to see the circumstances of praise. The circumstances of praise. So, we have struggle. We have fights. We have bosses that can be mean on Monday. We can have neighbors that play their music too loud on Saturday nights. You can have whatever it is, right? Life has its problems, we'll call it that. And here's the pastor on a Sunday morning say, but let's praise him. So let's just talk practically about a few things and this thought of helping you, helping me in the circumstances of our praise. Look at verse number one. Oh, praise the Lord. It's called out. We can't deny it that we are to praise the Lord. But it goes on and says, all ye nations. Now, this was especially for even the non-Jews. All ye nations, praise him, all ye people. Every tribe, every nation, every people, the call is there to all nations, to all people. So, verse number one, I think it's very self-explanatory, okay? That we are to praise the Lord, and as we see the call to praise the Lord, we see that it's for all nations and all people. Write this down, number one. There is never a person who cannot praise.
Amen.
There is never a person who cannot praise. Now, let's just break that down just for a quick moment. Obviously, God wants to hear us sing. God wants to hear us praise his name, especially as a believer. God does.
Amen.
God wants to hear you shout. God wants to hear you give him the glory. Matthew 5 tells us that we are to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works, but not so that we could go, look what I've done. But why? You know what it says. So that they may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God wants to be glorified. God deserves to be glorified. And it says in verse number one, oh, praise the Lord, brag on your God. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, in the last week, God has done something good in my life? Okay. I think I see almost every hand up. If you just think on that question for a moment, it wouldn't take you very long to probably say, you know what, yeah, God's done something good. There is not a people or a person who cannot praise him. As believers, it ought to be a desire, automatic, it ought to be a want to always praise and shout and give glory to God. Man, at church, you ought to be excited.
Amen.
Do you know that you can help the pastor when you're excited?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen simply means, I agree. Or that's right. Or so be it. Or in the Baptist church, preach on.
Yes, amen.
I'm hearing what God is saying and God is speaking to my life. And in the church house, there ought to be praising the Lord. Every one of us ought to want to sing loud in the house of God. How many just think that you're naturally a good singer? Well, okay, let me ask that question again. How many think you're naturally just a good singer? I just got one, couple hands, three hands. Okay. How many of you think you are the worst singer in all the world? And you couldn't pick a tune up on the radio? Watch you. How many of you think that singing is fun, but you're hesitant because somebody might make fun of you?
Yeah.
Put your hand down. Know this, that if you are a natural, gifted, awesome singer, or if you are the worst singer in all the world, there's a lot of hands for that, and my hand's there too. No. Or if you feel that people around you are going to be, make fun of you, or think, what are they doing? Remember this, you're here to worship God.
Amen.
And God alone.
Amen.
Mountain View Baptist Church, we ought to just sing our heart out.
Praise God.
If somebody laughs at you, just say, amen. I agree, but here we are.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands, right?
Join in.
We ought to want to praise. There is not a person that cannot praise. As a believer, it should be something we desire. You know what? Even God wants to hear the non-believer praise him. Because there is no other God. There's only one true living God. That's what the capital LRD, Jehovah, true living God, means. And you know what? God wants to hear the non-believer even recognize that he is God. He wants the non-believer to come, obviously, and receive salvation. He wants the non-believer to come and repent of their sins and to be saved and to know that they have a home in heaven. But God wants to hear from all persons, everyone. There is no other name worthy to be praised other than God. There is not There's never a person who cannot praise. Secondly, write this down. There's never a period in which we cannot praise. There is never a period in which we cannot praise. Now, right there, some of us go, but Pastor, and I get it because I'm there with you. See, we don't like stress, we don't like struggles, we don't like heartache. We don't like, you know, hard times that are out of our control, that we feel like there might not be an answer to. We don't like death. We don't like situations that are unbearable. But you know that there is never a period, okay, things going on in our lives where we cannot praise. I want you to recall verse 1, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations and all the people. That Joseph had to remember that. Joseph had to know that God is God. He is Lord Jehovah. He is the true living God. And what Joseph had handed down to him, what Joseph went through in Genesis 37 through 50, would not be anyone's tag to pick up and go, I want his life. You know what Joseph had to know and do? Praise God.
Amen.
And you know what Joseph did? He praised God.
Amen.
Think about the three Hebrew children, true? In the burning fiery furnace. I love the words where they say, we're not bowing down, so be it. Throw us in the fire, and our God will save our lives if he so chooses. If not, so be it. We're cool. We're comfortable because you know what? We're going to praise God. We're going to trust God.
Right.
Let's be real and honest as Christians. How are we in our life, no matter what's going on, about praising God? You say, well, Pastor, my marriage is not all that great. My marriage is not as strong as I want to be. Are you still praising God for what he's put you in, that he can guide you through and take you through it?
Yeah.
Well, I would if they... No, how about you submit, surrender, and say, God, you're my all. And I'm just going to praise you through this. Remember that old, or not the old song, remember the song of the Casting Crowns? I will praise you in the storm.
Amen.
Psalm 121 tells us, I will lift up my eyes, right? My help comes from the Lord, the
yes.
maker of heaven and earth. See, sometimes the reason we don't praise him is because our eyes are looking at the wrong thing.
Yep. Amen.
Well, she would be better, and obviously I'm in a situation here as my spouse. She'd be better, I could praise God. You know, if my wife never changes, I still can praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
And I should praise God.
Amen.
But often because we have our eyes looking at the wrong thing, we find it hard to be obedient to what the Bible tells us to do. Well, if my children get their act together, if they get good grades in school, if they wouldn't back talk to me, if they'd show me respect, if they would just want to love God, if they, how about you just praise God for the kids over to you?
Amen.
There's not a perfect child on the face of the earth other than me. My parents have never told me that. But anyways, there's not a perfect child on this earth. But every child is a blessing from above.
Amen.
Oh, praise ye the Lord. All nations, all people. There's never a person who cannot praise. There's never a period in which we cannot praise. And thoroughly write this down. There is never a place where we cannot praise.
Amen.
Now, inside the walls of a church should be a great place to praise. Okay? There should be an excitement and a joy and an amen and a hallelujah, and let's sing unto our God, and let's read scripture, and let's say praise him really loud together because it's the Bible and we're in a kind of a locker room environment. It's a safety zone. Do you know what? There's no place that you should not want to praise him.
Amen.
The workplace, my friend, is a great place to praise him.
Amen.
There's a bunch of wicked, vile sinners, and you're one of them, but you're saved by grace. Hallelujah. And you should praise God that he gave you the job he gave you, the boss that you have at this time, and the location and the place he's put you, because that's a mission field. And that mission field is an opportunity for you to let your life be bright and to praise him.
Amen.
To talk of Jesus, talk of his creation, talk of his goodness, talk of his faithfulness, talk of his place that he is in your life. There's not a place. The grocery store, right? In the aisle. Man, you get something on sale, and ladies, I'm talking more to you than men. Man, if you shop, talk to me afterwards. I don't know how you do it, that's all. But anyways, shopping is just a despised thing. But anyways, okay, back on track. You know, you get a good deal, a good coupon, a good great sale. My wife will run across these often. You know, a coupon for $1, $2 off, and then Smith's or somewhere, they got it put on sale to, you know, whatever, $1.99, so you got a $2 coupon. You know what that means? They're paying you or you're taking it for free. You know what, ladies? That's an opportunity here to talk with the clerk to brag on God. You say, well, God had anything to do with it. God had everything to do with it.
Amen.
God allowed Smith's to put it on sale that week or wherever you shop, and God allowed you to see that coupon and cut it out of the magazine or wherever it may be, off digital coupons or whatever all that we have in it nowadays, and then God just blessed you. You're going to praise him and let people know about it?
Amen.
I praise God that I got that for free. You got that for free? How did you get that? God's good. That's a witnessing opportunity, ladies. Think if you have 14 free things and your heart has 14 times, you can pray to God. That lady that's checking out, think you're insane. Or just a good shopper. But anyways, or maybe both. There's never a place where we cannot praise. At the ball game, fill in the children, you're going back to school next week. Sorry to tell you, but you're going back next week. When you go back next week, guess what? There's an opportunity to praise Him. For the opportunity that you can be a light to a needy community.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The circumstances of praise. Well, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. Number two, write this down. I want you to see the cause for praise. We talk a lot about God, and we talk about His goodness. We talk about all that God is, and so true. Can I just put down the three very simple things for you this morning? In verse number two, the call to praise is there, right? In verse number one. But in verse number two, we see the cause. For His, talking about the Lord, Jehovah, the true living God, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. If you're in the habit of underlining your Bible, you've got to underline right there. Merciful kindness is great toward us. A God that is great toward us with merciful kindness. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Three things I want you just to note with me this morning about the cause of praise. Number one, because of His love. Because of His love. 1 John 4:7-8, right? We know it. The kids are going to learn it this week in a song. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth God knoweth God, right? 1 John 4:8-7, God is
love.
L-O-V-E. God is love. When we talk about the word love, we have often a very misuse of it or a misunderstanding of it. Because we say, I love you often, sometimes we talk about a phileo love, which would be a brotherly love, the city of Philadelphia, right? Phileo love, or sometimes it's essential love. But love throughout the Bible often is agape love, a Christ-like love, or who God is. I want you to note this morning, we talk about praising Him because there's the cause for praise, because of His love, because of who He is. God is love. Think about this, just soak it up for a moment, church. There has never been one day in your life, never one day in your life where you woke up, not one day ever in your life where you woke up and God didn't love you.
Amen.
Not one day. No matter how old you are, I don't know who the oldest person is here, but I know some that are in their 80s. To the youngest person here, and there's teenagers in here. There's never one day that you woke up, no matter the age you are, and God said, today I'm not going to love. Because who He is. God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? But God commended His love toward us. Love, 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 right? 1 Corinthians 13, and in the King James, the word charity is there, but translated back to agape for love. And we talk about how love ought to be in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is very, very important, and love is very, very unique. And I want you to note this morning, we praise Him, the cause for praise, is because God is love. There's not been a morning that you woke up that God didn't love you. Or God didn't want to sit with you and have a cup of coffee, if I can put it that way. Or He didn't want you to just open the Bible and He wanted to talk with you. Or He didn't want you to bow your head, close your eyes, and just have a sweet time of prayer. There's not a moment God didn't want to hear your whole story. As men, can I just chide us a little bit? Sometimes, you know, our wives want to tell us the whole fact, everything, right? We're busy. Okay, I know you want the story to tell it. I'm the only one like this, but... Where she wants to tell all the details, and she wants the facts, and you know what, sometimes we want to be busy, right? But we are busy. My own illustration is God is never too busy.
Amen.
He wants all the facts. He wants all the details. He wants every corner you turn, and every way you went, everything's going on, and every feeling that you have. Men, may I just say to you and me, we really have to be like God. We're a picture, we're a picture of Christ, right? In our marriage. The cost of praise, because of His love. Secondly, because of His mercy. In verse number two, somebody just read real loud from that first part. Verse number two. Anybody?
For His merciful kindness is great
toward
us.
Thank you. For His merciful kindness is great toward us. Why should I praise Him? Because of His mercy. Lamentations tells us that His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. God is a merciful. How many of you, just be honest, the Bible tells us in James chapter 5 to confess our sins, one for our faults one for another. How many of you be willing just to lay out all your sins right now? I'm just kidding. How many of you be honest, though, and say, Pastor, this last week, I let God down one way or another. My hands up, I'll put both up, makes you feel better. No? You know what? if we're honest and real, there's times when we let God down this last week. Maybe a witnessing opportunity where God said, hey, go talk to this person. Do this, take this. Slow down a little bit. Have a be still and know that I'm God moment. Have a Selah moment. We talked about that a few weeks on Sunday night. There's times when God is always moving and wanting to speak to us, wanting to guide us, and we've said no or we've done the opposite. But guess what? His mercy is still there.
Amen.
His mercies are new every morning. We kind of term it this way a little bit, right? Patience? Maybe a little bit. As parents, you know, we're the most patient people in all the world. And some of us actually are more patient than others. But to be honest with you, eventually all of us can run thin on patience, right? Guess what? God doesn't run thin on mercy.
Amen.
Right?
It's new every morning. You say, we have a pastor, how's he doing at 11:59 at night? Well, for you, you might right now. No, just kidding. It's still just as fresh and just as good as God. The cost for praise because of his love, because of his mercy. Thirdly, write this down. Because of his faithfulness. Verse number 2. Merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Truth. The honest, real, raw fact of what you have faith in. It endureth forever. I am the Lord, I change not. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll never leave thee or forsake thee, so that we may boldly come and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men will do unto me. Why? Well, because of his love, because of who he is, because of his mercy, but thirdly, because of his faithfulness. Oh, how we need to take a load of that and put it into our own life. We need some people who are faithful.
Amen.
We do. Churches are stymied. Churches are floundering. Churches are not flourishing the way they ought to be. Because really, to be honest with you, many people are not faithful to God. People are not faithful to the things of God. I know how we can learn from what God is in our life and how we can talk on that whole message, but I want to talk about God's faithfulness. My friend, God never, ever turns his back on you.
Amen.
Amen. No matter how wicked, how wrong, how ugly spirited you are, God still stands and says, I love you. I have redeemed thee. I have bought thee back. I have chosen you. I'll never, ever turn my back. In marriages, there are spouses who sometimes turn their back. There are children who turn their back on parents and parents on their children, and on the story will be. And within the workplace, who were friends once can turn their back, and employers to employees, and on it goes. There's a lot of unfaithfulness in this world. My friend, this morning, I say there's a cause for praise to God because he is always faithful. See, back in Lamentations, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. And what does it say? Great is thy faithfulness. Just see this with me, and I'll get you to the last point. So we have in Psalm 117 that his merciful kindness is great toward us. Great! Great! And then in Lamentations that great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. That word great means we're anticipating. We're excited because there's something awesome. My friend, this morning there's a cause for praise, to praise him. Because of his great love, because of his great mercy, because of his great faithfulness. You don't have to fret tomorrow if God's going to wake up, or as you wake up, excuse me, if his back will be turned to you. It's not. He's looking down on you. He loves you unconditionally. His mercy's in place. His faithfulness is there. In fact, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith.
Amen.
Because of that, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We ought to live a life that is pleasing to God because of his love, because of his mercy, because of his faithfulness. Praise him, the circumstances for praise. Praise him, the cause for praise. And thirdly, I want you to see with me this morning the command to praise. May I just kind of let you absorb the final thought here and just encourage you. Encourage you with the command to do. The command to praise. Again, that's a choice. You know what is awesome about life is? Each and every one of us has a choice.
Amen.
We do. As a pastor, I have learned over the last 5 years of pastoring Mountain View Baptist Church that I cannot make one person do one thing. I can't. I can ask. I can plead. I can pray. But I can't force. You know what I've learned in life, and as time has gone on, and as I look at things, there's a lot of pleading Paul plead many, many times with the churches as he wrote the epistles, and as he writes even to us today. I beg, I beseech, I ask of thee. At the end of the day, though, Paul knew full well, I know full well, we all understand, it's a choice.
Amen.
See, you can walk out of here just a few moments, you can go home, have an afternoon of rest, Lord willing, come back tonight for the duel in the desert.
I like that.
The women think they got this thing won, but this pastor has a plan. And that is just to let them win. But anyways, final game night is going to be fun. And then you got the week ahead of you, and you know what you get to choose? You get to choose that you see and understand that you are too blessed, that you don't have to let your circumstances and your stress overcome you and overtake you, and you can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, and you can wake up tomorrow, you can go to bed tonight, you can go into Wednesday, into Friday, back on Saturday, back here Sunday, and say, you know what? God is so good.
Amen.
It's a choice. It is a choice. And there is some ugliness in life. We all have family. We all have friends. We all have problems and circumstances. There's ugliness in life. But in the ugliness of life, hear me, my friend, you're still called to praise Him.
Right.
The command is there. Let me just give you three thoughts. Number one, it's a personal command. It's a personal command. You, I, or as the Bible puts it, all ye people. Ye, in the King James, means all. Ye means more than one. Every one of us are called or commanded to praise.
Amen.
You get to choose. You can walk out of here and boom. What do you know what God said? And not artificial. Please do not. The world doesn't need more artificial Christians.
Amen.
What they need is godly, sincere men and women, Christians desiring to want to truly praise
Him. Amen.
Make your list of problems all you want, but then count your blessings and name them one by one. And you'll need more paper for your blessings than for your problems. And what
Amen.
Stamps it all, what puts it above it all, is the Bible says that His blood forgave you.
That's right.
And you got a home waiting for you in heaven.
Amen.
It's a personal command. Not only is it a personal command, but secondly, write this down, it's a profitable command. It's a profitable command. See, just the truth I want you to take with you this morning is that take-home thought that praising the Lord profits you spiritually, physically, and mentally. See, the pressures of life, the stress, the worries, work, finances, cars, houses, school, college, whatever it may be that's in front of us today, wears on us. But when I praise the Lord, when I remember His love and His mercy and His faithfulness, it helps me, not only spiritually and in a great way spiritually, but it helps you physically. It will help you to be able to eat proper. It will help you to be able to rest proper. It will be able to help you to be able to just do 1 Peter 5:7. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. I'm sorry, Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burdens on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares, stress, worry, burdens upon Him. Guess why? He cares for you.
Amen.
He doesn't turn His back on you. His mercy is new every morning. He is love. So cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. And guess what that means? That you then are checking it spiritually and your diagnostics is very, very good. You're walking the way God wants you to. You're living in the realm and the love and the fellowship that God has for you. Physically, you're rested. You're eating right. You're finding that, you know what, those worries are worries. You know what we often do when we have worries? Eat wrong.
Amen.
Pastor's like, don't say anymore, Pastor. I'm with you. Man, a sleeve of Oreos and milk sounds good when you're stressed. And it is.
Even when you're not.
When you're doing it by yourself, you think the cream in the middle and those two Oreos dunked in milk is just going to be your moment of, aww.
Yep. Yeah.
Not saying you can't eat Oreos. You probably should eat a sleeve of them. But anyways, you can't eat Oreos and milk. But you know what? You physically just say, you know what, God? You're good. And I can dunk an Oreo and go, ha, hallelujah. The calories seem different. But not only spiritually, not only physically, but last and finally, mentally. Oh, my friend. I say this in context. We're so messed up in our minds.
Amen.
We are. We're duped and fooled by the devil and the world. We're chasing the wrong things. We're overloaded. We're perplexed. We got to get to the next dollar. Got to get the next thing. And 33 words, we're called to praise the Lord. 33 words, we're called to, hey, you can be mentally stable. And again, I'm not throwing jabs. I'm just trying to get us to think on this for a few moments. Our minds are always running, and this pastor's so guilty. The only time I ever give an excuse anymore to God when I can't sleep is on Saturday nights and going into Sunday. My message is always running through my mind, the thoughts, the prayers. But to be honest with you, your pastor struggles at times on other days sleeping. And you know what I have to remind myself is that mentally it's not good for me. Physically it's not good for me. And I have to come back and I have to praise him. You know what I find myself? I can go to sleep when I just start filling my mind with praises. The worries don't go away. The problems don't go away, but man, praises are still true. The command to praise is personal, is profitable, and lastly, jot this down. It is a powerful command. It's a powerful command. I want you to look back at verse number 1 and 2. Reread them with me as I want us just to soak up the circumstances, the cause, and the command. Here it is. The shortest chapter of the Bible, the middle point in chapters in the Bible. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And I recall to you what Psalm 156 says, and that is this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. In case by chance this short passage and these thoughts from this single preacher hasn't convinced you, can I share this illustration with you and we'll be done? There are 66 books in the Bible. And through these 66 books, I want you to listen to what the topic of that, what that Bible is about, what that book is about. And why you and I can praise him. How can we praise him? Because in Genesis, he is the creator God. In Exodus, he is the redeemer. In Leviticus, he is your sanctification. I can praise him in Numbers because he is your guide. In Deuteronomy, he is your teacher. In Joshua, he is your mighty conqueror. In Judges, he gives you victory over the enemy. In Ruth, we see that I can praise him because he is my kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, we see that he is the root of Jesse and the son of David. In 1 and 2 Kings, we see that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can praise him in 1 and 2 Chronicles because he is the intercessor and high priest. In Ezra, he is your temple, your house of worship. In Nehemiah, he is your mighty wall protecting you from the enemies. In Esther, he stands in the gap to deliver you from your enemies. In the book of Job, he is the arbitrator who not only understands your struggles, but has the power to do something about them. In the book of Psalms, he is your song, the reason you sing. In Proverbs, we praise him because he gives us wisdom and helps us make sense out of life and live it successfully. In Ecclesiastes, he is your purpose, delivering you from vanity. In Song of Solomon, he is your lover, your rose of Sharon. In Isaiah, he is your every need. In Jeremiah, he is your balm of Gilead, the soothing salve for your sin-sick soul. In Lamentations, he is the ever-faithful one upon whom you can depend. In Ezekiel, he is the one who assures that dry, dead bones will come alive again. In Daniel, he is the Ancient of Days, the everlasting God who never runs out of time. In Hosea, we praise him because he is the faithful lover, always beckoning you to come back even if you have abandoned him. In Joel, he is your refuge, keeping you safe in time of troubles. In Amos, he is the husbandman, the one you can depend upon to stay all while always by your side. In Obadiah, he is the Lord of the kingdom. In Jonah, he is your salvation, bringing you back within his will. In Micah, he is the judge of nation. In Nahum, he is the zealous and jealous God. And Habakkuk, he is the Holy One. In Zephaniah, he is a witness. In Haggai, he overthrows the enemies. In Zechariah, he is the Lord of hosts. That's the Old Testament. Listen real quick to the New Testament. Why do I praise him? Because in Matthew, he is the King of the Jews. In Mark, he is the servant. In Luke, he is the Son of Man, feeling what you feel. In John, he is the Son of God. In Acts, he is the Savior of the world. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he is the rock that followed Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one, giving victory to all. In Galatians, he is your liberty. He has set you free. I praise him because in Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is our joy. In Colossians, he is our completeness. In 1 Thessalonians, he is our hope. In 2 Thessalonians, he is our glory. In 1 Timothy, he is our faith. In 2 Timothy, he is our stability. In Philemon, he is your benefactor. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he is the power behind your faith. And 1 Peter, he is your example. And 2 Peter, he is your purity. And 1 John, he is your life. And 2 John, he is your pattern. And 3 John, he is your motivation. I praise him in Jude because he's the foundation of our faith. And last but not least, in Revelation, I praise him because he is our coming King.
Amen.
Oh, this morning, two words. Praise him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes today?